have terrible news. Your grandfather is dead.
I don't even know him.
They want me to fly to Rome tomorrow night. What did my grandfather do? What is going on?
My dying wish is that you be the new boss of the Valbano family. Oh,
love you. I've got a lot going on at home. My son just went to college and my husband just cheated on me.
You want me to take care of him?
No! No. No, no, no.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Ciappardini. Welcome back to the Goat Seed Talk podcast experience. Break out the olive oil. Break out the ravioli. Break out the hair gel. We are going to Italy with Catherine Hardwick, writer, director, producer, set director, art director. She is an amazing, phenomenally talented person. Catherine, how's things in your world?
Oh, very fun. I mean, for example, this movie, I got to shoot it in Rome, and all real Italians and Italian crew and have delicious food. So, of course, it was quite an enjoyable experience. Yeah.
How do you build a siesta? How do you build a midday break into a film shoot? Does that just push your schedule way out?
Oh, we do not have that because we had a pretty tight schedule, you know. So I think, you know, everybody was kind of excited and we kept going. You have good food at lunch and all that. So it worked out pretty well. Yeah.
Excellent. You know, I spoke to Alex Heffes a couple weeks ago about the film and a little the wonderful flavors, no pun intended, that he brought to the score. You've worked with him before. You've worked with Tony before. What is the shorthand that you get working with people on a frequent basis that you love to collaborate with?
Yeah, well, it's so much fun because you're not like just, you're right there with them already. You already know. I've been to Alex Heffes' studio many times. I've been able to throw out ideas and I see how he just runs with it. With Tony, the same thing. We did Miss You Already in London. You know I can collaborate with her. She's very fun. We can be open with each other. Patrick McGee, our DP, I've shot like 4 things with him. Same thing. So it's just fun. You can just kind of, they almost can tell what you're feeling. Just look at your face like, oh, she didn't love it. Okay. Or I didn't love that. You know, it's like silent communication.
I've been keeping an eye on your career. Even before, my wife is the biggest Twilight fan I know. And she, you know, you made her day directing that movie. but even before that, I saw your name in Three Kings and I saw your name in Tombstone. And it's like, I would imagine that a production designer, an art director, I mean, they tell a story without actors and without dialogue. So what's it like setting the frame for a story and how can those visual elements communicate and how do you add to that?
I think that's such a great point because I was trained as an architect. So I used to be an architect in University of Texas, but you know, the difference in architecture and film production design, you're actually trying to create a character when you design somebody's home or their office or their place of work. So for, you know, as an architect, you made everything elegant and streamlined, but now you're looking for the details, like where do they throw their keys? You know, why do they have that on the wall? Did they get that from some old trip, from an old movie, whatever that they worked on? You're really trying to build up layers. So sometimes actors like on Tombstone would come in and they'd be like, oh, now I kind of maybe even understand my character better. Or I get the sheriff's office. Why does it have that on the wall? You know, so and Three Kings was really challenging. We didn't have access to Iraq at the time. It was so closed off. I was getting Iraqi refugees scrapbooks and looking at their family photos, you know, and oh, that would be on the wall. But I think that's what's kind of fun about it. Like, you know, you are creating a world for the actors to inhabit. In this case, we were able to create a world in Italy with 400-year-old villas. There's just so much beautiful history there that you've just got layers and layers.
You did this really great thing with the release of Twilight. You did the director's sketchbook. Is that a common process for you to have that journal to share with the tangible things, or do you still try to keep things in your head as much as possible?
No, I do have all my little notes and little like sketches, storyboards, like crude storyboards, drawings, and I showed people, here's how I think we could do the treetop sequence. And in that case, they thought, oh, people might be interested in this. Twilight, they published it. Of course, it was like a bestseller or whatever, you know, like 30 countries or something. But little did I know, in that case, I decided to write it all in my own handwriting, right? And then suddenly you have to translate it to all these other countries that have Greek letters and Russian letters.
Working with an actor of Toni Collette's caliber is, she comes across so charming and so endearing. I think in Mafia Mama, her character comes across so earnest, even when she's doing, killing people or something like that. How do you play the sort of comedy versus the sincerity, and how much do you leave to the actor to say, hey, this is your world, just go for it?
I think, Toni is a master, thespian. Obviously, we've seen her do such a great range of comedy, but lately a lot of really serious stuff, and getting murdered on a staircase, or all these heavy things. So I think she was relishing the opportunity, as I was too, to see her have fun, see her actually go on a fantasy adventure. She thinks it's going to be her eat, pray, love, and fall in love, so we've got a rom-com clashing with a mafia movie, and in a beautiful place. So we had rehearsals, we had about a week that she came out, and we could work with all the actors to try to figure out, how she felt, how that character felt, to try to understand Kristen, kind of her innocence in a way, her naivety, but she had a bubbly, really fun personality too, that stayed positive in a way, even, and empathetic and motherly and really maternal. So that was a fun balance. I think in the rehearsals, we would tape it and watch it and talk about it and just see how it worked with the other Italian actors.
It's been described as a fish out of water story, and I think that works due to the disproportionate nature of, the mafia, the invisible family is very serious, but she is so polarly opposite, and I think that contrast makes it really sing. I know this was adapted from a screenplay. What references did you maybe, aside from The Godfather, notwithstanding, what things did you use, like, as I'd like to use this, and there are bits of Easter eggs?
Well, definitely The Godfather, of course, and other mafia movies were kind of infused in this. I mean, obviously, we all kind of grew up on those movies and love them, so they're sort of in our blood. And then, of course, we had that Eat, Pray, Love and Under the Tuscan Sun references too, because that was what Toni's fantasy was going to be if she went to Italy, meet like a hot Italian guy, which she does, which is pretty cool. She does live out half much of the fantasy and gets to eat great pasta. But so we looked at those. And then, of course, I just looked at like crazy comedies that I love. I mean, Bridesmaids or Hangover, or Quentin Tarantino films. And just like, what is the wild ride that this woman is going to be on? So.
What's your favorite Tarantino film? And what speaks to you the most about his work?
Oh, my God. Okay. I mean, I guess for this one, I probably looked a little bit more Pulp Fiction and Kill Bill. Those were the ones I was looking at. But obviously, he's just been able to take, genres and, twist them and turn them and make them his own in such a powerful way. And the way he uses music, it's just so much fun, like just release yourself to the experience. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned comedies a little while ago, and I think this would be a perfect pairing with Amy Heckerling's Johnny Dangerously, which is sort of a mob comedy, except that one, you have Dom DeLuise, you have Danny DeVito. And I think the strength of this movie is that you really don't go for, how would I say, the stereotypes. You don't see Michael Imperioli, you don't see Steve Buscemi, you see these people who are known to play gangsters. Maybe can you talk about the strength of casting relative natives or relative unknowns to American cinemas?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to, we cast all real Italians, not Italian Americans, but Italians that live in Rome, live right in the area. And so that made it a lot of fun, because every little phrase that they may, I said, you know, just go ahead and be a little bit free and improv, you know, in some cases, the Italian lines, you know, they basically improv that and added a lot of flavor and made it really grounded and real, you know, so that was fun. But for example, the guy that the crotch eye scene, Alessandro, he's a villain in the James Bond, the one that was in Mexico City, you know, he's in the opening scene. So some of them, of course, a lot of the actors have worked in international movies.
Well, when you speak about actors bringing something to the role, how did the tiger, the lion, grr scene come up? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. Okay. I love that scene. Be the leopard, you know, this one. So that's Eduardo Scarpetta, and he is a great Italian actor. He's from a whole line of Italian actors from his great grandfather. He just won like the Italian David Award, which is like an Oscar for playing his great great grandfather. And he's just very creative and outrageous. And he came up to me, you know, we had some of that in the script, but he came up and said, I've got a few ideas, Kat. And Tony and I have been working on this. I'm like, okay, just let it rip. Let me see what you got. And when I'm watching it, of course, I'm just like, oh my God, it was so wild, but I loved it. You know, it just added this, it showed his kind of madness growing up in that mafia family and his obsessive nature. And I thought it was just awesome, you know?
I can see that this has, you know, brought you a lot of joy, and this is like a wish list movie for you. But is there one pinnacle or one cherry on top of the cannoli that made this special, this movie over the top for you?
Well, in a way, Monica and Tony, you know, their like friendship was, I thought, super fun because they're really opposites. You know, Tony's blonde, kind of bubbly, American. Monica is so elegant and refined and with the dark hair. And the fact, the way they played off with each other and the way that you see like a fun and interesting female friendship, you know, these two women, was, I thought, really exciting. Then we had Sophia Nonvet, who's her best friend, you know, the lawyer. And she was absolutely a riot too. She's a full-on comedian, though she stars on the new Lord of the Rings as the dwarf queen, you know. And so you see her quite different on that, you know, the female, the Lady Macbeth on that. On that show, but on ours, she's hysterical. So just seeing these three women work together, that was absolutely a blast, you know?
You know, as a film fan and as a consumer, I think one of the things that, you know, I can own a movie, the visuals are great, you can take home the soundtrack, but there are certain tangibles that I wish I could be on the other side of the fence. Like Monica Bellucci was in the Matrix movies. And I think some of the set design, in the sequels was fantastic, the villa, even the bathroom. So I always think to myself, I would like to have a piece of this, a piece of that. Are there things that when you're producing a scene, you're like, that's coming home with me as soon as the cameras are, yeah, this, you know, and do you have any takeaways that you just like, is that like the boards proudly display in your home?
I did want to take everything away, but since it was Italy, you know, like the sign, the Balbano family sign was like this big, even the grape stomping tub, I think they would be great out in my garden, but they don't ship very well, you know, but I do have some. Oh, wait, let me go get it. We have the Balbano wine, which is hilarious. It's got the severed hand and the stabbing eye, you know, so that's always something that you can enjoy a nice severed hand on your bottle of wine.
Oh yeah, I saw that in Alex's Instagram story. I didn't know that was a real thing or just for the crew, but no, that's awesome.
So I have little things like that to remember, but yeah, it was just a beautiful experience. I mean, I totally encourage everybody to go to Rome, go to that little town, the little stone town, Bracciano. That castle is where Tom Cruise got married, for example, in the background. There's just so many details, and just experiencing, you know, the Italian lifestyle. I felt like Kristen in a way, like I just wanted to have my eat, pray, love and drink the pasta and the wine and everything.
Well, I would say that watching Mafia Mama, I had my laugh. So, Catherine, thank you for your time and stories about production. Everyone, check out Mafia Mama, and we will catch you next time.
I'm still in the dark here. No, it's a figure of speech.